Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. I'm your host, Anna Murphy, president of United Way of Southwest Michigan. And tonight, we will be discussing food insecurities with Dr. Philip Knight, who's the executive director of the Food Bank Council of Michigan. Welcome. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and I'm super excited to be with you on your show.
Well, I think that's awesome. I've met you a couple times. You are a very dynamic person, so I'm looking forward to this conversation. The first question, though, I think the audience needs to know a little bit about you. Where did you come from, and how did you get to doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, okay, great. Super question. So I'm from L.A. originally, which we commonly refer to as Lower Alabama. But I made my way to Michigan about 10 years ago, and that was after spending about 9.5 years in East Africa,
Wow. Where
I led projects to build the first schools and medical clinics in Lake Victoria in the Vuvuma Islands.
Interesting.
So this is really where I got connected to the work of food insecurity, watching people struggle for their food, and particularly innocent children. And I just really have never gotten those images out of my mind, and I don't think I was supposed to.
So when you talk about food insecurities, what does that mean?
So food insecurity is simply the reality that some person or some household has where they don't have the proper access, enough access to the proper food and nutrition in the foreseeable future. So The biggest, we believe that if you're hungry, you only have one problem, and that is, what am I going to eat and what am I going to give my children? And so you live under the toxic stress that food insecurity creates, and your mind's not free to think about, how do I better myself? How do I get better education or better job training? Because you're just consumed with the idea of, what am I going to feed my children tonight and what am I going to eat myself?
So the organization that you run, that you work for, the Food Bank Council of Michigan, what does that do?
Yeah, we're the state association of 7 Feeding America food banks that are located throughout Michigan, and they are all a part of the national organization Feeding America. And through them, we're able to serve all 83 counties of Michigan through a network of some 3,000 different pantries.
So, okay, so help me understand this again. You say this again. You're a connect point for those Feeding Americas so that they can then have impact on the local communities.
Yeah, we're looking for the interest of the people that we serve through the food banks and the pantry network. And the Food Bank Council is the state association. Essentially, we are the trade association for all of the food banks. And we represent their interests in Lansing as well as in Washington, D.C.
So you're a state association very similar to Michigan Association of United Way, which we're a part of.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, Mike works on the floor above me at the Armory in Lansing.
I know. That's why I kind of said that. Because I know there's that interconnect there as well. So what are some of the initiatives that you're working on or your organization's working on to alleviate hunger?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're developing what is called in our world the blueprint to solve hunger in Michigan. And so what we're trying to do is go to the next level of food security across the state. 5 years ago, the food security rate was 16.2%, and this year it's down to 14.2%. So we're really excited about the work of the economy all the way down to the work of our pantry members. So that 2% drop on a represents about 35,000 to 40,000 people in the state who are no longer food insecure, and we want to keep that trend moving downwards.
Of course. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am speaking with Dr. Philip Knight, Executive Director of the Food Bank Council of Michigan, about food insecurities. And we were just talking about one of the initiatives called Blueprint. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Blueprint will solve hunger.
So go a little bit deeper into that for me, will you?
Yeah, sure. So historically, food banks have, you know, done a tremendous job of getting food in and getting food out. Last year, our network distributed 205 million pounds of food across Michigan, and over 80 million pounds was fresh Michigan produce. So we're really good at logistics and getting food in and out. But we want to make sure now to go to the next level of food security that we're addressing specific populations. So there's a partnership that's developing across the healthcare world, and how are we able to have give people, patients, access to fresh food and affect their overall health, such as diabetes and hypertension. And then we're also working really strongly in the education world with a little bit of a different approach than what has traditionally been done. Like, you guys in United Way do such a great job partnering with us and our work with meetup and eat-ups in the summer. But what if we all looked at this a little differently and said, what would be the effects on the school district, on the students, if not only the student was food secure, but also the student's family?
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of stability and empowerment would we bring into that household?
So that work for us as a United Way is pretty fascinating. I know you're familiar with the ALIS population, the ALIS report.
Sure.
And I know that there's probably a real interesting tie to that. I would love to continue to have more conversation around that as we move forward on that. But I want to ask you, what do you see are the biggest obstacles that you might be encountering as you address food insecurity?
Yeah, well, we have a pretty straightforward approach to evaluating policy. And that is, does it make our job easier to create food security, or does it make it harder? So there's a couple of things at the federal level that are very disturbing to us. And one would be changing the consumer price index and essentially lowering the threshold of money that people can make and still receive benefits. So, you know, so that's talking about going from the traditional consumer price index to the change consumer price index. And then this broad-based categorical eligibility that's currently being discussed, both has pretty significant eligibility impact on the eligibility of the people that we're serving. And it doesn't do anything to incentivize work whatsoever. And I think we'd all would agree that work is the biggest tool in the anti-hunger toolbox. And so we want to take these work supports and stretch them across the wage scale rather than really penalizing people for going to work.
That's interesting. So some of the work that you do with the Food Council is obviously around advocacy. So you can advocate on behalf of those Feeding America sites and or those pantries. Is that part of what you do?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a good 65 to 70% of what I do. It's just because, you know, we need a voice to say, you know, if this policy is rushed, if we're just knee-jerking this thing, or if we're simply only requiring work rather than incentivizing it, then we're not going to get the results that we wanted, that is intended by the policies and the legislation. So, yeah, we take a pretty strong look at a lot of the policy measures that affect the people that we serve.
So, in wrapping up, there's a whole wealth of knowledge that you have with the Food Council. I know we could talk for hours. Can you share a success story as we close out the segment?
Sure. I'm thinking about a lady that inherited her grandchildren, and they came to live with her, and she would go to the local pantry in order to be able to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those kids have all graduated high school now, and what is this grandmother doing? She's coming back to the pantry that she would go to get enough food to make it through the month, and she's volunteering. She's bilingual, and she is a tremendous asset to the community. And I think that's really something that people, when they look at the people that we serve, wouldn't really realize that they're just as motivated and interested in solving and creating food security in their own life as any of us could ever be.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. Thank you, Dr. Philip Knight, for joining us this evening. When we return, we'll continue our conversation on food insecurities with Pat Saxton, the director of Christian Service Center. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, president of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined this evening by Pat Saxton, director of Christian Service Center, who is here to continue our discussion on food insecurities. Welcome, Pat.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me this evening.
It's nice to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
I think I've known you since I started at United Way when I started First Call for Help. I think I've known you that long.
Oh,
so that's 21 years, just so you know.
All right. Well, I was brand new then, too.
Yeah, so. I'm celebrating that in this month is 21 years. Okay, let's get to the task here.
Okay.
So I want to know a little bit about what your path was that got you to where you are today.
Well, I really went to nursing school and became a registered nurse, but didn't work too long when the children came along. And so after that, I was volunteering school, other places. And then I met Sister Delora, who was running the Christian Service Center. She began it and worked as her personal assistant gopher for a few years. And then she got sick and got pancreatic cancer and passed away. And then we tried to find a sub. We thought we'd get another sister, but it didn't happen. And so it was, what's the future? And so we made it go and started learning from square one and called other agencies to see how to do things. And it just kept evolving.
So what does Christian Service Center do? First, what do they do? And then let's talk about what they do to address food insecurity. But first, what is Christian Service Center?
Christian Service Center is primarily now a food pantry. Addressing hunger insecurity, we do provide groceries for families in need in the 49120 zip code.
Which is Niles.
Niles. And families can come once a month as they need to get food to meet their needs and supply their family. And we also host the mobile food pantries in Niles three times a year. And the families can come from all over then. We aren't limited just to our zip code. So this gives them fresh vegetables and other nutritious foods for their households.
So what does food insecurity mean to you?
To me, food security insecurity means if you cannot put food on your table to supply your family each evening, you are suffering food insecurity, and thus you can use help from a food pantry.
And how long has that pantry been in existence?
Sister started it in the building. It was 1988, but she was working a few years ahead of that. So it's been over 30 years in the building we're in now. So,
do you know how many people you've seen in that 30 years?
No, not in 30 years. We average about 160 to 185 families a month.
Okay.
Ending towards the higher side now, but it's stayed pretty steady. Niles is not a growing industrial population, and so there's not a lot of opportunity. Young people leave. The ones we are left with are the older most of the time, and then families that just don't have the education to get good jobs, and some that are on disability. So all the ones that fall through the cracks, it seems.
So in the time that you've been involved, have you seen, and that's, you know, 15, 20 years, you said it's been pretty steady, but have you ever seen a time where it's been less needed or even more needed?
In the last recession, the numbers went up then.
Okay.
And it's slowly come down a bit, but it hasn't ever varied between 170 to 185, so other than going higher.
And after the recession, were you starting to see a different makeup of family, or I want to say customer, but people that were coming in that may not have needed the service prior, and because of the recession, something has hit hard, you know, financially with them?
Yes, it seems a lot of people didn't have savings and were living on paycheck to paycheck, and that's what most of our families do. So any little thing can throw them in need. A medical bill, late utility bill, that kind of thing, and they don't have any backup.
Well, and I mentioned earlier in the show something about the ALICE population, and ALICE stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And what that means is that it's the family or the individual that falls above the poverty line but still below a line of being self-sufficient, if you will. So basically they're one paycheck away from a crisis. And so I think that what we saw after the recession were a lot more families that were falling into that ALICE population. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Pat Saxton, the director of the Christian Service Center in Niles, Michigan. So Pat, what do your services mean to those that you serve? What do you think?
I think the people we see, mentioned to us that they could not make it without the help they get from us. And most are very, very grateful, of course. But they do not have enough to buy food. Some come on bicycles, some walk. They're really the lower end of the spectrum, and they need the assistance. And we're lucky that we're supported by the community as a whole. It's not just our parishioners that donate. We have other churches that collect monthly for us. We have groups that send monetary donations or have food collections. United Way has been very generous with the Christmas in June that we just had.
Oh, sure. And, yep. It's
an all-volunteer staff, and everybody is there because they want to be. And it's a big family. We're a family, and the families that come in are part of the family, and so we look forward to seeing them, and they, as much as they can, enjoy the time they spend there. They exchange recipes, stories, share their joys and their sorrows, and we have a unique relationship, and it's very nice.
So let's talk a little bit about the logistics of the pantry. First, where is it located?
We're located at 322 Clay Street in Niles. It's part of St. Mary's Parish and right in the center of town.
Okay. And again, families, individuals can come how often?
Once a month.
Okay.
They would first come and get registered and get food that day then.
Do they have to have any special identification or any proof of anything?
Yes, for a photo ID, Social Security cards for those in their family, and a piece of mail with their address on to show that they do live in Niles.
Okay.
But it's all subject to individual appointments, approval.
And then how do you determine what they leave with?
We work by size of family for the groceries they leave. We have a set selection of groceries, and then depending on the number in the family, the quantity would be determined from that.
And you you pre-bag or pre-box, or do they shop?
They shop.
Okay.
They shop. We serve, but they shop. And one thing we do notice is that many will say, I don't need, say, peanut butter because how do you not have enough peanut butter? Right. But something like that versus taking it. And they say, leave it for somebody else because we have enough, you know. And so they're very conscious of not taking more than they need.
And then do you have frozen food?
We do. We have a wonderful walk-in cooler and freezer. So we supply meats, margarine, eggs.
And where do you get those supplies from?
Some we purchase, and some are donated. We have a weekly donor that provides us with many refrigerated items.
So with that, and then the partnership with the mobile food pantry, a family could get basically all food groups.
Yes.
I mean, really?
Yes.
Okay. As we wrap up this segment, I want to ask you, why is this work so important to you personally?
I guess because it puts a face on hunger insecurity. It's easy to say the term, but until you see the people that really are making up that term, you don't know what they're going through and what it's like not to have enough.
Well, we appreciate the work that you do, the work that the Christian Service Center does. Continue that good work. We appreciate the fact that it's volunteers giving back to the community. So I want to thank you, Pat, for being here this evening. And we have more to come on food insecurities. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Mary Tompe, Director of Helping Hands. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Well, it's nice to have you here. For those that are not familiar with the organization, what is Helping Hands?
Helping Hands is a nonprofit organization located in downtown Cassopolis. Our facility includes a food pantry and a thrift store. Our organization was formed in 1989 as an outreach from the churches. They were getting donations at the churches and people coming there for help. And the board was formed by a group of pastors, and Helping Hands evolved.
So is Helping Hands kind of a central point so that the churches don't all have to do it themselves?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. Is it volunteer-led, or are you staff? Or
I'm staff. I have an assistant who's staff. We are headed by a group of 12 board of directors who are all volunteer. And then I have 12 other volunteers that help with the day-to-day operations and filling the food orders and keeping the store running.
So how did you end up there?
I was out of work and I applied for a job. I was denied the job. And then the board member called me that night and said, you're too valuable to get away. Would you consider being on the board? So I did. When the previous coordinator retired, my job was ending. I was a temporary somewhere else, and I applied for the job, and I've been there 15 years.
Wow. Are you a lifelong resident of that area?
No, actually, I'm not.
Where did you come from?
Originally from LaPorte, Indiana.
Okay. How did you end up in Cassopolis or that area?
My husband and I bought a little cottage and added on to it, and then he lost his job. We relocated, and when he lost his job a second time, we moved back to Cassopolis.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the impact that your group and your pantry is having on the communities.
We have a substantial impact on the communities. Last year, our food pantry served 2,219 individuals with food boxes. For a small community that only has 2,000 residents, that's huge. Year to date, we've served 1,303 clients with people facing food insecurities. There are other food pantries in Cassopolis, but their hours differ and they're not always open, maybe once a month. So we are a staple in the community.
So So what are your hours? Are you
Monday through Thursday, 9:30 to 4:00.
Oh, okay.
And our pantry is open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 3:00. That's when my assistant's there. And we do fill food orders on off days.
So what does food insecurities mean to you?
That a person is unable to feed their family, whether they're working or not. The ends just don't come together. There's not enough money for food at the end of the month or during the week. There's not enough food to sustain the family. And that's what food insecurities means to me.
So in the previous segment, we were talking with Pat Saxton, and one of the questions that I asked was, in the time that you've been there, have you seen an influx or a decrease in people coming in? And we talked about the timing around the recession. So have you seen the trends change?
Absolutely. We started out 15 years ago with an average of maybe 30 clients a month. And now we can see as many of that as that in one day. With the recession and the way things went, we have had a substantial increase. And it just keeps rising and rising and rising as people lose their jobs, as people are transient from one community to another. We've just seen a huge increase in people facing those food insecurities.
So let's talk a little bit about the logistics of your service. You said you're open 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. And how do you define or how do you decide what a person gets?
We have a prepackaged box, and we do offer frozen foods. We have meats. We have bread in our freezers. If they're a first-time client, they'll get a voucher from a local grocery store for their milk and their eggs because we just don't have enough refrigerators.
Sure.
And you can't really determine your need for the dairy products. At least with the meats, you can keep them frozen. The breads we get on a weekly basis, it's a substantial food box.
And where do you get your food from?
We purchase from Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency, or we get our foods from Feeding America.
Okay. Do you ever have the Feeding America mobile?
We do. We have 7 of those a year, and it's usually from April to October.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I am here with Mary Tompe, the Director of Helping Hands. So let's go back to a little bit more about what else do you provide in the community?
We have a clothing closet where people in need can come in and get clothes for their family. It's one bag per family member and usually includes 6 or 7 pairs of pants, a few shirts, some shoes, some personal items. And then we have a medical closet. We call it our medical closet, where when we have walkers donated, crutches, wheelchairs, toilet risers, any of that, we offer that as a free rental to our clients. We just ask that please bring them back clean.
Where do you get those donations from?
Those come from the public.
Oh, okay.
So, and if they're in good order, they stay in the store. We clean them up and we can use them in our loan closet. If they're damaged in any way, they have to be disposed of.
Okay.
We offer adult diapers, which are free to the public. We have baby food sometimes. People will donate baby food or formula, so we check the dates on that.
And you may have said this, who can access this? Is it just residents of Cassopolis?
No. It's Cass County in general.
Cass County, okay. Why is an organization like yours so important?
Because there's nowhere else to go in Cass County that offers the services that we do. People just, when they're facing an emergency, when they're facing a crisis, they want somebody right now. They don't want to wait. Their need is immediate. And we've always been there for the community. So that's why we're so important. We continue to stay there for the community in their crisis.
What do you hear from people that have been able to be served by your organization for whatever reason, whether it's food or, maybe clothing or something else? What do you hear from people?
a general overall thankfulness and appreciation. Very few people ever have disputed what's in a food box. They're just happy to get the food so that they have something to feed their families for a few days. As far as clothing items or any other services we would provide through the pantry, it's just gratefulness.
And why do you do this work?
Because I love it. I can't imagine myself doing anything else.
What were you doing before this?
I was a secretary in a factory.
So it's very different.
Very different. Very rewarding.
And when you leave at the end of the day, what's that feeling?
Thank you, Lord, for helping me help others today.
And what is it that you would say to people that might be a little hesitant about maybe coming into your services? Maybe they're first time and they haven't had to access something like this before.
There's nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody's walked a mile in your shoes at one point or another, and there's no reason to be afraid to come in to get assistance. We're here to help.
Is there anything else you want to share about your program?
I have a wonderful group of volunteers that keep everything running. And
volunteers are awesome, aren't they?
Volunteers are awesome.
How many volunteers do you work with?
12.
And do you provide training to those volunteers?
They do get trained, yes.
So you do have a little bit of rotation probably,
yes,
sometimes,
we do.
But probably a good core group of
people. We have a very good core group of people. And then all the volunteers I have there right now are capable of training anybody that comes in because they've all been there for a while.
Sure.
I don't have a large turnover. I do see a lot of the high school students coming in to do their community service work. We do partner with the sheriff's department sometimes when they have somebody coming out of jail that needs community service. So we help in that area and can provide that community service experience for them.
So let's tell our audience again where you're located.
We're at 130 South Broadway in downtown Cassopolis, Michigan.
And you have food, clothing, and lots of other things in the organization.
Yes, and it's a wonderful place to shop. The last week of the month is dollar bags for clothing.
Wow. I have a whole garage full of clothing right now that I was trying to get rid of because I had a rummage sale and it's still there. So maybe I'll have to come out and drop some off.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
People like you, people like Pat, are awesome. So thank you.
Thank you.
So stay tuned. We are going to continue our conversation on food insecurities. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to 26 at 6. I'm here with Yvonne Veit, Community Service Manager of Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency, and Warehouse Coordinator Mario Fonseca. Did I say that?
Yes, that's
correct. I did
that.
All right. So tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got to where you... I know, Yvonne, you've been there forever, so I know you. I've known you a long time. But just so the audience knows a little bit who you are, how you got to doing what you're doing.
Sure. I ended up a single parent with three children, and I searched for a job, and I first entered hospitality. Everybody goes to a restaurant, right?
I did.
And then I got a job at Michigan Works, and I was a job developer, and my program manager decided that she wanted to become an executive director at Van Cass Gap, which they ended up changing the name to Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency, and I went with her.
Who was that?
Shirley Wohler.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mario.
I was actually selling cars before I became the warehouse coordinator. I was selling cars until 2008 hit when the recession, and it was really hard to make a living selling cars. I was traveling from Coloma to Dowagiac to sell cars, and I wasn't really making that much money. And then, so that's when I applied for the job at Southwest Community Action Agency, and I've been here for 12 years now.
Wow. And what is your role as warehouse manager. What does that mean?
I run our warehouse, our food commodity warehouse. We service the Tri-County area. So I do the shipping, the receiving, all the coordination with our truck going out to deliver the food.
And Yvonne, what is your role mean for Community Action Agency?
I oversee the warehouse. So I do all the hiring and involved in the food ordering. Both Mario and I sit down and look at the menus that are coming in. I've been very active in ordering the family food commodities, which is over 4,000 families that we're serving quarterly. And I get involved in ordering equipment. We ended up building a freezer last year in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow. Yes, that's correct.
We had frozen food product that was coming in, and we needed to house it. And we wanted to offer that to our clients. So within 2 weeks, we ordered a unit. They assembled it and hooked it up, and now it's full.
So, Yvonne, we're talking about food insecurities. What does that mean to you or Community Action Agency?
To me, it means that you're going to bed hungry. It doesn't matter if you're a senior, a young adult, or a child. If you're going to bed hungry, you're going to bed without food resources.
And what are some of the services or that the organization provides to counteract that?
Well, under a community services manager, I run a lot of emergency programs. One would be, of course, the food commodity warehouse. We also do emergency services. We do rent, utility shutoffs. We run a emergency family shelter indicator. And also at the agency, we do have weatherization, which makes the home energy efficient. We do poverty simulation workshops. And we do first-time buyer or home buyer education, and we do financial management.
So it's kind of a one-stop shop.
Yes, you're right.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I am speaking with Yvonne Veit and Mario Fonseca, both from Southwest Michigan Community Action Agency. So, Yvonne, I want to talk a little bit about what does Community Action Agency do specifically around food insecurity?
We are in the process right now of doing frozen food product, which we are giving out in our food commodity program. We have both family commodities, which runs quarterly, and every month we do senior commodities, which is a box of food for over 2,000 seniors in the Tri-County area.
Let's elaborate a little bit on what does commodities mean?
Commodities is, to me, it's a array of foods, and we pack them. There's 12, 14 items that we give to the seniors every month.
So they're staples?
Correct. It would have milk and cereal and your basics, vegetables in a can, fruit, some cheese.
Oh, cheese. Yeah, that's good cheese. So how does someone qualify for a commodity?
For senior commodities, there is an eligibility, which means that you do need to prove income, and you have to be 60 of age. But when it comes to family commodities, the need is in need of food.
So, and how often are commodities given away?
For seniors, we do it every month. That's 2,000 individuals.
Okay.
And quarterly, we do around 4,000 families in the Tri-County area. And the one that we do for the Benton Harbor area is at our Miller Street location. And in the month of May, we served 850 families that came through our drive-through in 4 hours.
Wow. Is that a increased number? How is that compared to first? How is it compared to other months? And then how was it compared to the previous May?
This has been extremely high because we're getting in frozen food products. So we're getting in the frozen chickens, we're getting in shredded cheese, we're getting pork products, milk products, eggs, all the items that everybody needs every day.
So let's talk just a little bit about the logistics again. And so how do people get to know, or how do they find out about commodities?
We do advertising a little bit in the paper. We also reach out to all our senior centers. All our senior centers pass out our food commodities. And another big one is word of mouth.
Okay. And so, Mario, what's your role in the commodities that take place?
My role is I do all the coordinating. We set up the deliveries. Our truck goes out to the senior sites. We have 27 sites on a monthly basis that we deliver 7 days out of the month. And on the quarterly, we do 27 sites too. And I do all the logistics for it. I get the trucks in. We do the shipping and receiving pretty much. And I also have to call all the places, let them know, you know, when we're coming. I do a calendar for our senior commodities for the whole year in advance, so they all know that we're coming.
And people have to pick it up.
Correct.
Either it's from the warehouse or from a senior center from another site. Okay.
But the big thing is he packs all the products.
Yes, we pack it all.
So that
means... Do you use volunteers?
Yes, we do. We use volunteers through the court system and also through, like, I have different groups such as, like, Primar, Whirlpool. There's, you know, school kids that come in that have to do community service for school. And this is a variety of community service.
So are you the volunteer manager as well?
Yes.
So you do it all?
I do it all.
Wow. And why, again, so what does this work do for you personally? What is it?
Personally, it's very satisfying. I mean, this means a lot to me. I can go home every day knowing that I'm making a difference. Like I always tell people, I used to sell cars, so I go from like I used to rip people off to now I'm making.
I'm not going to buy a car from you.
Now I'm making a difference, helping people in need. You know, it's just very satisfying. I love my job. I love working with all the people, and it's very satisfying.
What about the job is most frustrating? Don't say Yvonne.
No, Yvonne is awesome. She is awesome. If it wasn't for her, it would probably be frustrating without her. But some of the logistic parts get really frustrating because I only have two part-time employees.
Okay.
I have a guy that drives our truck, and then when it comes to the quarterly and the seniors, so every quarter we have double months. So we're trying to do double shipments, and it gets a little frustrating to try to figure everything out.
But you make it work.
We make it work.
Yvonne, why do you still do this work?
The reason I do this work, I meet a lot of people. I end up meeting individuals and certain parts of their life. And just last week, I went into a hardware store, and the clerk looked at me and said, are you still at that agency? And I said, yes, I am. And she goes, you know, I will never forget you. So I'm kind of going, oh, okay. And she said, you made a difference. I came to you, and I was in a domestic violence situation, and you were so kind to me, and you put me in a hotel, and you changed my life. Now I'm giving back.
And that's what a better way to end the show this evening. So thank you. Thank you, Yvonne, Mario, for joining me, and all of our other guests for joining us this evening. If you want to know more about United Way of Southwest Michigan, visit us at uwsm.org. And if you want to see or hear any of the shows that have been played, you can go to wsjm.com or uwsm.org. The podcast, everything is out there. So United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. I'm Anna Murphy. Thanks for joining the fight.
And thank you for listening. Join us Tuesday night for the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.